The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Let's start with "No good deed goes unpunished." One of my favorite sayings, by the way. It really is accurate, isn't it? Paul Ryan does what conservatives are told they don't do. He deals with the issue of poverty, and he's called a racist for it. This is actually pretty similar, I think, in that regard. Daniel Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins. Let me first say, just set aside the whole debate over their mascot and logo. Snyder's a jerk. He is probably, well, I don't know. I do know some people in the NFL. He is probably one of the most, you took the words out of my mouth. Jason said one of the most classless organizations. He is not considered a class act, and he is not liked around the league. And it's not just because he's doing what the Redskins have been doing for 40 years. This happened back in the 70s. They keep trying to buy their way to a championship. The only time they won Super Bowls is when they built a team mostly organically. But they keep trying to, they are the anti-Ted Thompson. Daniel Snyder is a wealthy man, so he can always max out whatever the NFL allows him to spend. And he does. And he usually spends his money poorly. You would think the other teams would celebrate that. But he's just so obnoxious about the way he goes about doing it. Daniel Snyder, so I think if he were anybody else, he might not be getting beat up as badly as he is over not changing the Native American mascot, the Washington Redskins. Now, listen to this. Jason sent this to me. This is from NBCSports.com. On Monday, Redskins owner Daniel Snyder launched a foundation aimed at providing aid and assistance to Native Americans. On Tuesday, the Native American group most loudly opposing the team's name responded. "We're glad that after a decade of owning the Washington team, Mr. Snyder is finally interested in Native American heritage, and we are hopeful that when his team finally stands on the right side of history and changes its name, he will honor the commitments to Native Americans that he is making." Oneida Indian Nation Representative Ray Halbritter said in a press release, "We are also hopeful that his new initiative to honor Native American struggle, Mr. Snyder makes sure people do not forget that he and his predecessor, George Preston Marshall, a famous segregationist, have made our people's lives so much more difficult by using a racial slur as the Washington team's name. Snyder's gesture will do little to change the minds of those who firmly have decided that they are for or against the continued use of the team's name. His target audience presumably resides in the middle, where folks either don't have an opinion on the team's name or haven't adapted the opinion so strongly that change is unlikely." No, it's not personal for them at all. No, not at all. Item two. I want to get through a few here before we get to what I think is a very interesting topic. I have said for about a year now that I do not believe Hillary Clinton, as of today, and I've been saying that for about a year, every time I would bring it up, I would say as of today, and it continues to be the case, as of today, is not running for president. I believe two things are going on. One, I believe that all of the effort you see to support her is actually an effort to encourage her to run. They're trying to show an infrastructure of fundraising, an infrastructure of foot soldiers, an infrastructure in general of a campaign, somewhat turnkey, to make it more desirable for her to run. I do not believe she wants to run. I believe, as I've said all along, if she runs, I believe it will be, she'll be dragged in kicking and screaming. There is another theory that they will never be able to convince her to run, but she's going to continue to play this cat and mouse game. And Rush Limbaugh brought this up while I was on the road, and he may have been referring to the Wall Street Journal story from last Wednesday. I don't know if he was or not, but I just saw it going through old papers last night after I was on the road all week. He said that, look, here's what she may be doing, drawing fire for as long as she possibly can, then announce she's not running, and whichever Democrats do, there's less time to beat up on them. It's not a bad theory, but if she decides not to run, here, look, there are rumors that I'm not going to share in the air, but I'm just going to say there are rumors about her health that are circulating in Washington, D.C., about a specific condition, which I'm just going to say I don't believe. There's no reason to believe them, but they're circulating. I believe she just does not have the fire in the belly for the fight. That's what I believe. And she knows it's going to be a very difficult fight. Further, I think Joe Biden really wants to run, and it would be extremely rare for the party not to support the sitting vice president in a nominating battle. It would be virtually unheard of. Now, the story in the Wall Street Journal, I think this was back on Wednesday of last week, it was, some in Clinton's circle hope she won't run. There are some in her inner circle who don't think she's healthy enough to run. Now, that would play into the rumors I've heard, and that it just would be take too much of a toll on her. Others in her circle very much want her to run for selfish purposes. They think she can win. They think she'd be a runaway winner. Actually, running to the right of Barack Obama probably would be an effective campaign, because she is going to have to distance herself from the disaster that is the Obama presidency, both in domestic and foreign policy. But it's a very interesting article that they're just worried that it would test her stamina. Again, that goes back to the buzz about her health. Then there is this. So now you have that. Evidence that even those in her inner circle don't want her to run. And what I believe right now is she's not running, and if she does run, it's going to be because she just bowed to the pressure. That doesn't always work very well. That's what happened to Tom Barrett in 2010. White House pressure pushed him into the governor's race. He really didn't want it. His wife didn't want him to run. But he buckled and he ran. Then in 2012... when he didn't want to run, they did the dumbest thing they could, Democrats, and they told him not to run. So what did he do? He ran. He was wrong both times. Then there's this. I don't know if you recall David Brock. David Brock is what I call an ideological whore. He believes whatever he needs to believe to make money. In the early 90s, well, through the 1990s, he worked for a conservative publisher, and he wrote the book Trashing Anita Hill. He later disavowed everything he wrote in that book and wrote a book called Blinded by the Right, how he was hypnotized by the right-wing hate machine, and he was a hapless victim of it, and now he's a liberal again. Here's the problem. He was never a conservative. He's an angry gay man who blames everything in the world. Well, here's why I say that. Because he blames everything on homophobia, Jason. His homosexuality would be irrelevant to this discussion if it weren't for the fact that he just feels everything is homophobia. He who spent the 90s attacking the Clintons, is now part of a team on the early warning, early defense. Track attacks on Hillary Rodham Clinton, defend her record, and dig up any potentially damaging information on her would-be 2016 rivals. Their leader, one-time Clinton antagonist, David Brock. And, of course, the New York Times is celebrating this because he used to be a conservative. It's an absolute lie. He was never a conservative at all. He was never a conservative. He was a liberal who was whoring himself out, because that's when in the 1990s, when the conservative media was born, he got in on the ground floor of it. When he felt it was waning about, oh, 6-7 years ago, he jumped ship. But I don't believe he was ever really a conservative. So no, this is not a conservative. This is a fraud jumping ship. Some of you missed it. I mentioned earlier, I still haven't had a chance to dig through it. Mary Burke has revealed her jobs plan. It's about 40 pages long. Came out just before the show. I haven't had a chance to review it. Don't know if I'm really going to get a chance. But yes, I know it's out there. I am aware of that. Don't know how much we'll talk about it today. Probably more tomorrow. Still to come in this hour. Should a prospective employer be able to ask you about how much money you're making right now? I think it's a very interesting topic. It's 9:17.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.